Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will, we shall, we must rejoice and be glad in it, thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. And it is a what great word today. It is a great word today. Whew! I cannot say enough. What the Lord gave me this morning was take heed and beware of covetousness. Take heed and beware of covetousness. So many times folks get caught up in covetous. I want what he or she has. Well, ooh, they got a new car. Ooh, I want me a new car. I want one just like the one he or she has. Oh, boo-boo and them, they just got a new house. I want what they got. You got to be careful talking about what you want that somebody else has, because you don't know what they went through to get it. You don't know what pain they may have gone through to get whatever it is they have. You don't know if they did something they shouldn't have been doing to get what they have. We don't need to covet anybody's stuff. And the one thing we talk about all the time on this blog is this. You cannot take any of this stuff with you. All the stuff you have, every stitch of clothes, understand even what you're buried in is going to turn to rags, and you're going to turn to ashes and dirt and dust and bones. You're not going to be here anymore. So all this stuff that you may have, as I look around, all this stuff I have will be here when I'm gone for somebody else to clean up and give away. We got to understand all the stuff in the world means absolutely nothing if you lose your soul for it. Your soul is eternal. This stuff is temporary. That's all it is, temporary stuff. So don't look at, you know, I was loved to the analogy, you know, back in the day when I was growing up, telling my age basically, the song was me and Mrs. Jones, we got a thing going on. We know that is wrong. You know, come on. It's a cheating song. You know, I'm saving all my love for you. You know, cheating song. Covetous and cheating. You know, folks looking at Miss Jones, like, ooh, Miss Jones got it going. Oh, you don't know Miss Jones got another thing going on, and it's not with her husband. But you won't be like Miss Jones. So Miss Jones drives a Mercedes. Miss Jones got the nicest clothes. Miss Jones is tall. Miss Jones is, oh, she's so cute. Miss Jones is this girl. She wears the best hats to church. Miss Jones is, oh, her husband is fine. Oh, she got the perfect kids. I want to be like Miss Jones. No, you don't. As we all know, this generation, the Kardashians, front and center of want to be like the Kardashians, keeping up with the Kardashians. And now one of them is dealing with her sex tape coming back to buy her in the behind because she has children. The things that you do young can come back to affect you when you get old. They can change your life trajectory. Change your children's respect or disrespect of you. Don't want to have what everybody else got. What you want is to have what God has for you. and what God has for you, can't nobody take it. It is yours, and it will stay yours as long as you trust in God and believe that whatever it is that the Lord has for you is for you, and you don't have to look at what anybody else has. You don't have to be happy that someone got a new car. Be happy that someone got a new home. Be happy that someone that you know got married, and you may still be unmarried. It doesn't mean that God doesn't have someone for you. Don't covet what they got. Everything God has for you is for you. It is irrevocable, your blessing. So don't worry about what Miss Jones has. Don't worry about keeping up with the Kardashians. Don't worry about doing any of those things because they mean absolutely nothing in the scheme of things. The word of God that came to us in Exodus chapter 20 and in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And if we go back to those words, God has shown us and told us, thou shalt not covet. It's all up in there. You know, let's just go to the word really quick. We're going to go first to Exodus chapter 20. So go with me to Exodus chapter 20. And we're going to go to verse 17. And it says, same thing as Deuteronomy chapter 5. It says in verse 17, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. And it goes back to not just his wife, but you can't covet your neighbor. You can't be looking at Mr. Jones talking about how fine he is and that he should be your husband. No. Because there are some Joneses who are very happily married. And I shout out to my friend Deborah. Hallelujah. We are blessed. You know, I had 32 years of a happy marriage. I know there were some that was coveting my husband. I know because I found the business cards when I was helping him clean his car. And then they got mad when he took them to court. He didn't write bad tickets. And I know, don't hate the bearer of bad news. My husband was one of those folks that wrote tickets called a state trooper. But the bottom line is, he never did what he knew was not right. And never had to shoot anybody, didn't have to pull his gun on folks, didn't have to tase anybody because he did great police work. But understand, don't look at what anybody else has. Thank God for what you have. And know that your blessings are going to come from God. He got you covered. But again, we got to trust Jesus. The best gift God has ever, ever, ever given was us an opportunity, to us was an opportunity for salvation. As tomorrow is Good Friday, Christian world. And I know there are those that say, you know, well, Good Friday is, you know, this or that. Because Jesus couldn't have died on Friday. He had to die on Thursday for the scripture to be fulfilled. We all know the word. We know everything about that. And so we're not going to argue theology this morning. But we are going to say that the gift that he gave for salvation. We know that he loved us enough to come to this wicked, awful planet to die on the cross because of politics and prejudice, calling it straight. And he was an upstart. He was a this. He was a radical. If he came today, he would still be crucified because of hatred, because he don't look like what I thought the Savior would look like. He doesn't act like what I thought the Savior would act like. He's not coming with the mighty army and running out the Romans. He's not sitting on David's throne in the castle. Instead, he's a lowly carpenter. What? And he hangs out with fishermen. What? Wait a minute. He's talking to tax collectors? Oh, my God. And he's hanging out with prostitutes. Oh. That, I don't know who he is. Oh, wait a minute. But he's in. Oh, my God. He's healing somebody. No, he did not just heal on the Sabbath. Oh, he rose. He did what? Lazarus rose from the dead. He did that. Oh, no. He got to go. He's messing it up for everybody. But even all those folks that hated him to the cross. So as we get ready to go into tomorrow, think about what he did for you. Don't look at what Sister Susie got. Don't look at what Boo Boo and them down the street got. Don't try to keep up with the Kardashians. Be a social influencer on whatever medium. Think about your soul and your salvation. And to beware of being a coveted, having a coveted spirit. Because it will not do anything but hurt you in the long run. The Lord loves you and wants the best for you. So let's get started in our word this morning. Because, again, what is yours belongs to you. And what belongs to you belongs to you. Can't nobody take it. Can't nobody diminish it. What's yours is yours. Hallelujah. Let's get started. Woo! It's our word today. The giddy host is back. And it is Joshua chapter 17 through 18, and you know the daughters are coming back. You know those girls will say, "Hey, wait a minute, we have no brothers, so we need to get our portion too." So Joshua, don't forget it. So let's read, and it says, "There was also a lot for the tribe of Manasseh, but he was the firstborn of Joseph, namely from Bechar, the firstborn of Manasseh, the father of Gilead, because he was a man of war. Therefore." He was given Gilead and Bashan, and there was a lot for the rest of the children of Manasseh, according to their fathers, for the children of Abazar, the children of Helek, the children of Asherah, the children of Sheshkim, and the children of Hepher, and the children of Shemida. These were the male children of Manasseh, the sons of Joseph, according to their families. But Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Makar, the son of Manasseh, had no sons but only daughters. And these are the names of his daughters: Mila, Noah, Hagla, Milcah, Tarzah. And they came near before Elijah, the priest, before Joshua, the son of Nun, and before the rulers, saying, "The Lord commanded Moses to give us the inheritance among our brothers." Therefore, according to the commandment of the Lord, he gave them an inheritance among their father's brothers. 10 shares fell to Manasseh, besides the land of Gilead and Bashan, which were on the other side of the Jordan, because the daughters of Manasseh received an inheritance among his sons and the rest of Manasseh's sons had the land of Gilead. And the territory of Manasseh was from Asher to Michmethath, that lies east of Shechem and the border, and went along south to the inhabitants of En-Tapua. Manasseh had a land of Tapua, but Tapua on the border of Manasseh belonged to the children of Ephraim, and the border descended to the brook of Kenai, southward to the brook. These cities of Ephraim are among the cities of Manasseh. The border of Manasseh was on the north side of the brook, and it ended at the sea. Southward it was Ephraim, northward it was Manasseh, and the sea was the border. Manasseh's territory was adjoining Asher on the north and Issachar on the east. And in Issachar and in Asher, Manasseh and Ben-Shan, and Ibleam and his towns and inhabitants of Dor, and his towns and inhabitants of Endor, and its towns and inhabitants of Tanakh, and its towns and the inhabitants of Megiddo, and its towns, three hilly regions. Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities. But the Canaanites were determined to dwell in that land. And it happened when the children of Israel grew strong that they put the Canaanites to forced labor, but did not utterly drive them out. Then the children of Joseph spoke to Joshua, saying, "Why have you given us only one lot and one share to inherit, since we are a great people, inasmuch as the Lord has blessed us until now?" So Joshua answered them, "If you are a great people, then go up to the fourth country and clear a place for yourselves there in the land of the Perizzites and the giants, since the mountains of Ephraim are too confined for you." Woo! But the children of Joseph said, "The mountain country is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites who dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both those who are of Beth Shean and its towns, and those who are of the valley of Jezreel." And Joshua spoke to the house of Joseph, to Ephraim and Manasseh, saying, "You are a great people and have great power. You shall not have only one lot, but the mountain country shall be yours. Although it is wooded, you shall cut it down, and its border shall be yours, but you shall drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots and are strong." Chapter 18. And now the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of meeting there. And the land was subdued until then. But there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes, which had not yet received their inheritance. Then Joshua said to the children of Israel, "How long will you neglect to go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you? Pick out from among you three men for each tribe, and I will send them, and they shall rise and go through the land, survey it according to their inheritance, and come back to me. And they shall divide it into seven parts. Judah shall remain in their territory on the south, and the house of Joseph shall remain in their territory on the north. You shall therefore survey the land in seven parts and bring the survey here to me, that I may cast lots for you there, you here before the Lord our God. But the Levites have no part among you, for the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance. And Gad, Reuben, and half the tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance beyond the Jordan on the east, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them." Then the men arose to go away, and Joshua charged those who went to survey the land, saying, "Go, walk through the land, survey it, and come back to me, that I may cast lots for you here before the Lord in Shiloh." So the men went, passed through the land, and wrote the survey in a book in seven parts by cities. And they came to Joshua at the camp in Shiloh. Then Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord. And then Joshua divided the land to the children of Israel according to their divisions. Now the lot of the tribe of the children of Benjamin came up according to their families, and the territory of their lot came out between the children of Judah and the children of Joseph. Their border on the north side began at the Jordan, and the border went up the side of Jericho on the north, and went up through the mountains westward, It ended at the wilderness of Beth Aven. The border went over from where today lies to the side of Lust, which is Bethel, northward, and the border descended to Atharoth Adar, near the hill that lies on the south side of Lord Bethel-Rod. Then the border extended around the west side to the south from the hill that lie between Bethel-Rod southward, and it ended at Kirjathaim, which is Kirjath-Jearim, a city of the children of Judah. There was the west side. The south side began at the end of Kirjath-Jearim, and the border extended on the west and went out to the spring of the waters of Nazareth. Then the border came back to the end of the mountain that lies before the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is in the valley of the Rephaim on the north, descended to the valley of Hinnom on the south of the Jebusite city on the south, and descended to Elvedel. And it went around from the north, went up to Ed Shemesh, and extended toward Gilead, which is before the ascent of Adam, and it descended to the son of Bohan and the son of Reuben. Then it passed along toward the north side of Arabah and went down to Arabah, and the border passed along to the north side of Beth Hogla. Then the border ended at the north bay of the South Sea, at the south end of the Jordan. This was the southern boundary. The Jordan was its border on the east side. This was the inheritance of the children of Benjamin according to its boundaries all around according to their families. Now the cities of the tribe of the children of Benjamin according to their families was Jericho, Beth Hogla, Emek Kezi, Beth Arba, Zemarim, Bethel, Avon, Pira, Ophrah, Hammon, Afani, Geba, 12 cities with their villages, Gibeon, Ramah, Bethrath, Mizpah, Chesperah, Mosah, Rikin, Ibeo, Chirilah, Dila, Elpha, Jebus, which is Jerusalem, Gibeah, and Gareth, 14 cities with their villages. This was the inheritance of the children of Benjamin according to their families. And a couple of life lessons from chapter 17 and 18 of Joshua. Chapter 17, verse 4, the Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our brothers. We should never hesitate to come before the Lord and ask him to do what he has promised, even if it seems out of the ordinary. James tells us, because you do not ask. James 4 and 2. That's a highlightable. And I say it again. You do not have because you do not ask. But we're not saying ask with a covetous spirit. We're saying ask God for what belongs to you. You have not because you ask not. I can tell you something. Whatever God has for me, I'm getting my stuff. Because I know how to open my mouth and say, Father God, can I have? And if it's meant for me to have, he allows it and he gives it. And if it's not, and it may be not now, then I wait on the Lord. But I did ask. And as we continue in Joshua 17 and 18, the mountain country shall be yours, for you shall drive out the Canaanites. If we are to fully benefit from the promises of God, we have our own work to do. Come on now. God requires his people to put forth great effort in their lives of faith. We got to work. Whatever God has for you, you got to work for it. And it says, how long, chapter 18 and verse 3, how long will you neglect to go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you? What keeps you from claiming the territory that God wants to give you? What is holding you back from acting on his promises? How long will you neglect to possess the land that the Lord has given to you? Whatever God has for you, whether it's your education, whether it's a vehicle that you need, whether it's going to the doctor to handle your health concerns, whatever it is you need to do, just do it. God loves you like that. And if you need healing, start asking for it. Lord, you promised that you would never leave me, that you would never forsake me. I'm asking for miracles. I'm asking for signs. I'm asking that you will heal my mind, my body, and give me strength, that you will do what you said you would do. We got to talk to God and tell him what he said. Whatever is God's will, it's God's will. And we have to understand that we are at the will of God. But keep trusting him. Keep knowing that he is always there with you and that he will take good care of you because you belong to him. Psalm 45:16-17. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. All your garments are scented with myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory places by which they have made you glad. King's daughters are among your honorable women. At your right hand stands the queen of gold from Ophir. Listen, O daughter, consider and incline your ear. Forget your own people also in your father's house. So the king will greatly desire your beauty because he is your Lord. Worship him. And the daughter of Tyre will come with a gift. The rich among the people will seek your favor. The royal daughter is all glorious within the palace. Her clothing is woven with gold. She shall be brought to the king in robes of many colors. The virgins, her companions who follow her, shall be brought to you. With gladness and rejoicing they shall be brought. They shall enter the king's palace. Instead of your fathers shall be your sons. Instead of your fathers shall be your sons, whom you shall make princes in all the earth. I will make your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore the people shall praise you forever and ever. And our proverb for today is Proverbs 14:6. A scoffer seeks wisdom and does not find it, but knowledge is easy to him who understands. Thank you, God. And some life lessons from a life lesson from Psalm 45:7. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness. It really is not more fun to do evil than to do good. It really fun to do evil than to do good. When we willingly obey God, he rewards our obedience with the oil of gladness, a satisfaction, the joy that penetrates all the way to the heart. And I just got to say, you know, I went to a meeting last night, and wound up getting taken out to dinner. You know, didn't expect it. And it was very nice. Lots of laughter. Lots of just love. And, you know, just because I was obedient to God. Because I was obedient, I got to go out to dinner and had a great time. So shout out to my pastor, to my mother, who's about to be licensed, and that's my spiritual mom. Thank God for her, for Mom Valerie. Thank you, God, because she is getting her license. She stepped up and accepted her calling. You can accept your calling, and it does not matter how old you are. When God calls you, just say, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Let's get into our word for this morning. And I'm saying it right now. It is a great word. Beware of covetousness. That's it. Jesus said it. Beware of covetousness. Join me in Luke chapter 12. And it said, in the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Come on now. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear in inner room will be proclaimed on the outside. There is no such thing as a secret. Again, we talked about it. You know, God love us. But Kim Kardashian, you don't tape yourself having sex and then wonder why the tape got out in the public and your baby's now asking you questions about it. We better understand. Life, no joke. Be careful what you put out there. Yes, it made her rich and it made her famous, but now it's about to make her infamous because she don't like it out there now because she's trying to be respectful. Be careful what you do in your youth or come back to haunt you in your old age. Let's call it like it is. All you have to do is read and watch. So much out there. So much. And this is what it tells us. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more than they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed his power, killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. And we're going to go back and read that verse one more time to get the understanding. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more than they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after he is killed has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore you are more valued than many sparrows. Also, I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him, the Son of Man, also will confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. We cannot deny our Savior, Jesus Christ. We cannot say, oh, he was just a great rabbi. He was just a good prophet. But we still going to wait for the Son of God. He's been here. His name is Jesus. He is my Savior. He died for me. And we got to start proclaiming it. We can no longer be ashamed to say we are believers in Jesus Christ. We cannot deny our Savior. I don't care who says, oh, well, that's just a whole lot of fairy tales. Well, I tell you what, when you stand before God, you tell God, oh, I'm sorry, I thought you was just a fairy tale. Can I still go in? No. Fear him who after he is killed has power to cast into hell. You going to hell because you don't believe in it, remember? Oh, I don't mind going to hell. Okay, then you going to go to hell with your atheist self. You going to go to hell with your unbelieving self. You going to go to hell because you don't believe in it. Okay, that's your choice. I believe in Jesus Christ, and I want to stand before him, and I want to hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. I want to know. I want to sit at his feet. I want to have a merry moment where I can hear him speak. Hallelujah. Speak, Lord. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, I say it again. it will be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. Understand, God has placed that spirit within us. We got to listen, because it's who gives us the voice of God. It says, now, when they bring you to the synagogue and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in the very hour what you ought to say. Then one from the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Say one more time. You cannot take it with you. It, just like this inheritance that these brothers are talking about, tell my brother, share it with me. I'm sure the dad just assumed that one would share with the other. You need to put it in writing. And then your kids don't have to fight about it. Your kids don't have to worry about it. Your kids don't have to be divided over your stuff. Put it in writing. And it goes on to say, but he said to him, man, who made me a judge? Take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods, and I will say to my soul, so you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then who were those things in which you have provided? So if he is for soul, is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God? All the stuff in the world means absolutely nothing when you stand before God. You can't take your car with you. You can't take your house with you. And for those that got many, many cars, houses, jets, planes, and trains, and automobiles, and spaceships, you cannot take them with you. You can't get on that spaceship and think you're going to get to God, because it's not going to happen. As you try to be a bigger, better, more, and all of this, you're going to find out that it means absolutely nothing in the scheme of things. God sees it all. And what did he say? One more time. And I will say to my soul, so you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I got it all. Okay. But understand. But then what does it say? But God said to him, fool, so will be required of you. Then who will those things be which you have provided? Whose will they be? They'll be out there for somebody to fight over. So if he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God, then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on it. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they are neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and good God feeds them. How much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Come on now, preach, Jesus. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? Oh, you little faith. Oh, you of little faith. And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink. Now have an anxious mind, for all these things the nations of the world seek after. Father knows that you need these things, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear. What did he say in Joshua? Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not fear. For the Lord God is with you wherever you go. We have to walk in courage. We can't look at what Sister Susie has. We can't look at what Boo Boo them down the street have. We got to worry. We don't worry. We pray and we thank God that we will have eternal life with him. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice that we may have salvation. Thank you, God. Ooh, hallelujah, this word is rich this morning. Do not fear, little flock, but it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. But where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Is are you treasured together for your heavenly home? Because that's what's important. Because in your heavenly home, no thieves can break in and no fires can break out. Hallelujah. I thank God for each and every one of you. That is our word for this morning. And as I said, it has been rich. Whew, it's been rich. Thank you, God, for this word today. And before we get out of here, our prayer for this morning and a word from our sister in Christ. And our prayer is coming out of Jeremiah 29, verse 11. And it says this. But I know, come on now. You know when God has a word that you know it's the word. You say, do not covet, right? Beware of covetousness. Was our title for this moment, for this day. But this is the word God gave us. But I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. This is the scripture for my church for this year. Stepping up, stepping out. Because God has the plans for us. We ain't got to worry about what the Joneses got. We ain't got to keep up with the Kardashians. Because God has already declared to us in his word, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Bam. God has already given everything to us. And this is our prayer this morning. Take this to your heart. Lord, I cling to your promise that your plans for me are good. When life throws me a curveball and I'm left reeling from its impact, remind me that this is not the end. There is no time limit to your grace. You don't set an expiration date on mercy, freshness. My plans may be thrown off course and even thrown out the window, but yours have not changed. What a hope, you God. You keep me on the path of life until I reach the end of mine. I will not give up or give in as long as I have you. I have everything that matters. Keep me steady when I start to tremble. Keep me going when I feel like my feet are as heavy as lead. Keep me, just keep me. I take hope and courage while clinging to you in your good plans for my life. The light that you see clearly through it, though it looks different than I'd hoped. Here I am, Lord. Lead me on. Hallelujah. As the song says, precious Lord, take my hand lead me on and help me stay in. Oh, hallelujah. Father God, we are calling on you today and knowing that you are in charge of our life, God. We ask you, Father, to take control whatever your plans are for us, God. Lead us and guide us in that direction. Keep us safe from stumbling, from the stumbling blocks that are placed in our way by the evil one, Lord God. Protect us from all hurt, harm, and evil, Father. For we give ourselves away for you to use us for your glory, for your kingdom, Lord God. For your word says, for you know the plans you have for us. Lord God, we thank you and we declare that all things work for our good because we are trusting in you today, God. And as we finish up this word this morning, I just want to thank God. And the question that was at the end of the prayer, is your hope in your own plans or in God's goodness? That's just something to think about. And remember, beware of covetousness. God is in charge of everything. And before we get out, a word from our sister in Christ. This word today has been so rich and so full. And I am just filled up this morning. Whoo, I just can't say it enough. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And then, again, here comes Sister Carolyn. All up in the word today. Good morning. God cares about your thoughts and concerns. Tell him what's on your heart and thank him for taking care of your concerns. Have a thankful Thursday, family. Let us be thankful. Let us be grateful, knowing that we are blessed sons and daughters for the Lord, of the Lord our God. Be thankful and know that, and be grateful. We know that you are blessed, that the Lord Jesus loved you enough to give his life for you. And know, be grateful, be thankful, and be thankful, grateful, and blessed to know that the Lord God has already made plans for you, that he will not leave you, that he will not forsake you, that he will always be there with you and for you. Keep trusting in God today. Keep trusting in the Lord today and know that he has you covered from the crowns of your head to the soles of your feet. Thank God. Just raise your hand this morning and say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you that you gave me a new day, that you gave me a do-over. Thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you, God, for your healing power. Thank you, God, that everything will work for my good because I'm trusting in you. Keep God first, family, in all things, acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And watch him direct your path. Have a blessed day, family. If there's anybody that has a word from the Lord, now is the time to call 213-943-3597. And if there's a word that God has given you, push the number 1 on your phone if you are calling in. We are blessed beyond measure, family. And all I can say today is, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day in the Lord, knowing that he's got you covered and that you are blessed beyond measure to be a child of the Most High God. It's a wrap. Why? Because this girl's got to go to work. Love you much. Be blessed and have a great day. It's a wrap.